before we go on to consider maybe some features of the day of recompense. That is what Allah says. Yawm al-Din means what? The day of recompense. The day on which each and everyone will be paid in full regarding whatever might have proceeded from him or her of action, whether good or bad. Before then, may we just ask ourselves a question. What is the practical relevance of belief in the fact that Allah is the sovereign Lord and the master and the sole decider of that day? The practical relevance of that is that in whatever we do as Muslims, let us make sure that we do not seek to please anyone but Allah. He alone can choose to be merciful with you. And he alone can choose to punish you. One mistake which many people do commit is that they can go to the extent of offending Allah and now pleasing a human being who does not have a hellfire to cast them into on the day of judgment. If you say Allah is Maliki Yawm al-Din, that simply shows that on that day also Allah will be all recourse and all decisions will lie in his hand. In that case, if we all believe this, I really don't think it can be wise in any way for anyone to fear Allah. For what purpose? For the world? For people to praise you? Or for people not to blame you, even though their praises can take you nowhere? And also their blame can as well not amount to anything. Allah speaks of some people in a verse of the Quran, the verse says, وَمَنْ يَبْتَدِئْ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ. Whoever among you decides to make a U-turn regarding his religious duties to Allah, Allah says, فَيَعْتَ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ آخَرِينَ. Allah will evolve some other people that are even better than you. يُحِبُّهُمْ. These people, Allah will love them, وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. And they will also love Allah, وَيُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And they will strive in the way of Allah, وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. And these people will never be concerned about the abuse of any abuser. The Yoruba say, Edita Bamba Noja, Ulamamu, Eyogishu Kimi, Akiwa Nwoja. As servants of Allah, our duty is to whom? To Allah. Meaning of the proverb, I don't think I'm good at that. But the essence of the message is that we must be able to realize as Muslims that we have a duty to our Creator. And that our Creator is the sole decider on that day and that his decision cannot be influenced. We have in the world today some scholars who will legalize illegality for people just in order to receive something from them. We have had the case of one man telling one of his followers, probably even, that is even falsely, better not faith. But the essence of the message is that something very illegal was legalized, was pardoned, believing that on the day of judgment, we have a Godfather. Just like the Sheikh was telling his followers, if you happen to have any problem on that day, I'm going to turn you into smaller insects and I will swallow you. And by the time I am admitted into paradise, I will vomit you. Some will say, I'll put you in my pocket and smuggle you into the paradise. On that day, even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cannot be able to save anyone. Yes, there is intercession. The Prophet will intercede. But that is still subject to the leave of Allah and subject as well to the permission of Allah regarding that person. The day of recompense. The day of recompense is that day when two brothers will run away from each other. Wa ummihi wa abihi. You see your father, you run away. You see, your mother will not be able to recognize. In fact, Surah Al-Hajj puts it more terrific. وَتَضَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتَ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ
شَدِيدٌ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ
Of that day is something that is beyond description. That is the day when you will see a woman breastfeeding her baby and will throw the baby away and run in escape of her own soul. These are our mothers. We all know how compassionate they are. We all know. But the terror of that day will be so great that women breastfeeding, cuddling their baby, will prefer to throw the baby away and then run away. وَطَبَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتَ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا. All pregnant women on that day will be delivered of their baby prematurely. You will be seeing everyone acting as if they are in the state of drunkenness. Everyone will be behaving as if we are all drunk. But Quran says, Ramon will be Sukara. They are not acting in that way out of any intoxication, but it is the punishment, the terror of that day that is so great. This will encompass everyone, not only the unbelievers. The believers, the unbelievers will all face some first round until Allah comes to give succor to those of us who are believers. And that is where the essence of saying Allah is Rahim will be more appreciated. Because you see, until you see the contrary of the thing, you'll never be able to appreciate it. For us to be able to appreciate the favor of paradise which Allah will admit us, it will come for us, make us to go through some hell. You will see hellfire. Surah Al-Maryam says, "Wa in minkum illa wariduha." All of us will see hell. We will behold Jahannam. After all, the sirat that will take you to paradise passes across the hell. You will hear people wailing below. So that at the end, if you can just be saved and you are so lucky that Allah says, wa akhiru da'wahum an alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. That Allah says, then the end of their prayer of that day will be just to be thanking Allah, that praise be to Allah, Lord of the universe. Now when we say Allah is ashakir, and when we say Rahim pertains to Allah being merciful to those of us who are believers, that is when that attribute of God will come to relevance. Because it will be a situation by which Allah is going to exempt from the calamity of that day those of us who are believers. We are initially, we will all face the preliminary aspect of it. يوم لا تملك نفس لنفس شيئا. The day of recompense is such day where none of us can be of any help to another. The best thing an alpha can do to you is to make you do the right thing in the world, and never to give you any false assurance. Whoever gives you such assurance is a shaitan. The best way, look at the Prophet was telling the companions of Islam, he said, I am to you in the position of a father to a child. that even if you are bent on entering into the pit of destruction, I will hold you by your buttocks and make sure I pull you back even against your will. Because the prophet perfectly realized that the best way he could help his companions was to make sure to try his best to put their feet on the right track here in the world. If they die on the wrong path and Allah is to assess them, the prophet will not be in the position. What was his last message to his dearest daughter, Fatima, radiallahu anha? Please be dutiful to Allah. Do not say you are the daughter of Allah's messenger. If it was the wish of Allah to punish you, I cannot save you from the punishment of Allah. And if Allah wishes to bestow his mercy on you, I cannot withhold Allah's mercy from you. Mind your duty towards the God. The prophet was telling his daughter this on his sickbed, with full consciousness that this is a sickness of departure. But what people want today is a person who will pamper them and justify all the wrongs of their life. Give them fatwas that will suit them. Oh, it's not wrong, you can do that. After all, in Allah, Ghafoor Rahim, Allah is unforgiving, merciful. Oh. please, let's be beautiful. Let's be more conscious of ourselves. We are dealing with Allah, our maker, our owner, and our administrator. What whose will must be at all costs, and Allah is never a Democrat. I always say that. Many a times when people see majority indulging in a particular wrong way, we tend to justify that wrong in our mind. Something will tell us that if something is prevalent and we want to say, if Allah were to punish anyone for this thing, it means we are all going. What does it take to Allah to punish us? What does it say? It takes nothing. It takes nothing. Hope you are not going to put us into some tears, brother. The verse we have just recited is this. Remember that the world will say to the fire of hell, are you filled? And hell will still be saying, oh God, I still ask for more. That is to say, no matter how many we are on the wrong way, the Jahannam which Allah has prepared is so spacious enough that we cannot fill it up. When we recite Malik Yawmuddin, it is not a joke. What Allah is simply telling you there is that I alone will be in charge of that day. And it is better you learn to do my will, do my own bidding, satisfy me. Be ready to be killed, be ready to be persecuted, be ready to bear any inconvenience that any lord or any authority of the world can put you through, because in the end, I will be the final decider. So if we can all learn to please Allah, wallahi, if we can just uphold this principle, just be rest assured that your path is very clear to paradise. May Allah grant us the understanding of His word. May Allah make us appreciate the reality of the fact that He is the Lord, and grant us the ability to be fully submissive to Him. That is where you can have rest. Allah is never a Democrat, but He is a just and a benevolent dictator. His will will be, no matter how rebellious we talk to. So if we can realize it, Maliki Yawmuddin, we prepare for it right from here. Allah has said that to remind you of the fact that your life here will soon be terminated. After all, we are here just in order to be given an opportunity to determine our fate in the hereafter. That is the assignment we are doing now. To choose by your own hand, either of the two apples. You love to go to paradise, choose it by your hand. Is it the other one that you want? Choose it by your hand. And on that day when the decision will be made eventually, only Allah will be in charge, not a prophet. You have had the episode of the prophet and his daughter, then cancel it completely. If you can never imagine that there can be a sheikh or one alpha or one imam who will tell you to indulge in all the wrong ways and will refuse to admonish you and give you some sort of consolation, on that day he's going to disown you. Ya Allah, save us from that. Maliki yawmiddin, iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Before then, maybe we can just catch some glimpses to see what are the stages involved in this day of recompense which Allah is speaking about. Firstly, we should know that whoever is there has started the first phase of this recompense. The day of recompense begins shortly before the eventual demise, and immediately we pass on, we make the second stage in the Barzakh. Barzakh is the life we are going to live between our death and our eventual resurrection. Please mark it. Your birth was never the beginning of your existence. So also will your death not mark the end of your existence. We are all as old as Adam, our father. Ever since Allah created Adam, he has created all of us. But then we are existing in a world of spirit that only Allah knows and only Allah can tell. So if you should count your age from the time of Adam, you should know how old you are now. But unfortunately, Shaitan will make us believe that this world, this present world, is the most important. We are, it is just like closer, twinkle of an eye, compared to where we are coming from, and compared to where we are going eventually. After that, we are going to be resurrected in three places. There will be two series of trumpets that will be blown. The first is what is called Nafkhatul Fazaa. What is the Nafkhatul Suri? Fafazaa among the Samawati wal Ardh. Just believe. When that trumpet is blown, the Quran says everything in the universe will be thrown into disorder. The entire existence will be disorganized. That is the time you will hear that the sun is rising from where it ought to set. Then the habitat world will no longer be conducive for life. That alone would have accounted for destruction of several living creatures. Then after that, we have Nafkhatul Sa'iq. The serpent will be blown and every living thing will die completely, lifeless, except few which Allah wants to retain for some special duties among the angels. Then we have Nafkhatul Nushur. When that last trumpet is blown, then the earth is going to vomit everything it has consumed. If there are good things that will happen to
you.
When the heart is shaken thoroughly. وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها. And the earth will throw out all the heavy things it has consumed. What are those heavy things? Leaders of the world, giants of the history, rulers of empire, أخرجت الأرض أثقالها. The earth will throw everything out. وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا. And man will ask, what is happening? What is this day? يَوْمَ إِذٍ. That is the day when all of us are going to be ready before Allah, and each one of us will bear his own business on his own. Wallahi, day of Qiyamah is so terrible that please let everybody prepare himself from now. There can be no patronage of that day. Maliki yawmiddin, iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. that we are in between two ends. That our journey in the world is never an end in itself, but merely a means to an end. Allah has declared that His Rabbil Alameen, the world that we are presently in, He has declared that He is the Lord. And He also told you about your journey after here. That what? He is the master of the hereafter. Then how can you be in peace? And how can you really be able to appreciate the essence of your existence here? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونِ. Allah says, He has not created us, those of us who are mankind, and the genies, except for one purpose. And what is the purpose? إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونِ, that we may serve Him, that we may worship Him. That means, lying between your subject here and the hereafter is what? Servitude to Allah. That is the secret. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. You alone we worship. What is the meaning of worship? Many think that worship simply means observance of certain rites, certain rituals of religion, like saying 5 times daily prayer, observing Ramadan fast, holding long tasbih and chanting the name of Allah in millions. All these two constitute worship, but they are merely symbolic. They are to instill the real worship in you. And what will determine whether indeed you are a worshiper or not is how far has your salah made you submissive to Allah. If you say Allahu Akbar or salah, raising your hands up signifies that Allah is above everything. Isn't that true? You worship Him standing, that is not enough. You go bowing, that is not enough. You fall prostrate, declaring, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, glory be to my Lord the Most High, glory be to my Lord the Most High. It's not just a formality. Allah wants you to exemplify. Allah wants you to reflect in all your doings that indeed you are just a slave of a master. And that your Lord is the Most High must be satisfied, must be pleased in all situations. Ibadah in Islam goes beyond rituals, but we say the rituals are to instill some discipline in us. For example, why are we fasting? Just to stay still, hunger and thirst? Is that the reason? Allah says, La'allakum tattaqoon. You have to fast so that you can learn how to be God conscious. You should fast so that you can learn how you can practice self-restraint. You can hold yourself within the limits of Allah's bounds. That is to say, if we fast for the whole of our days, and we are about offending Allah, and we realize we are conscious of the fact that what I'm about to do is offensive to Allah, and yet as a believer, you are unable to apply your spiritual break at that instant, you are still not a worshiper of Him. You are not yet a servant. Your salat is mere salat of what? For the substance of it is not yet there. You alone we shall stand. Your laws alone we shall obey. Your laws alone we shall seek. You alone we are going to give all our worship. And that is to say that as a believer, you are prepared to go against anything in the world to satisfy your Lord Allah. Let's be إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. But in this living reality, many of us are servants unto ourselves. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Allah speaks to some people and say they have their Lord as their carnal will. Do you not know, Muhammad, those who worship their love, those who worship their ambition, those who worship their hate, their passion, their appetite, is what they worship? One will wonder, how can one be worshiping with carnal wisdom and capital? You do that when you give no regard to what Allah feels about your action or to what Allah feels about whatever you do, then you are not taking to be the worshiper of Allah, but you are taking to be the worshiper of that thing you are prepared to satisfy at disobedience of Allah. As Muslims, we should know that la ta'ata li makhluqin fi ma'siyati al-khaliq. There can never be obedience for the creator if that obedience will amount to disobeying the creator. Iyaka in Arabic connotes two aspects. It does not only mean you worship. There is a connotation of a note there. I hope it is included in that Arabic translation. Oh Allah, you alone we shall serve to the exclusion of every other one. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. And it is only your aid we shall seek. And that is because as a believer we should know that as Allah, as the Prophet of Allah told that companion Abdullah ibn Abbas, he says, احفظ الله يحفظك. O Abdullah, be mindful of your duty to Allah, and Allah will always be conscious of your own well-being too. احفظ الله تجبه تجاهك. Be very dutiful to Allah and be almost conscious of your duty towards your Lord, and you will always find Allah at your disposal. Why? Let me tell you, and the ummah, that the entire ummah, the jinn, the mankind, now which tabahu, were they to gather together, ala ayyam fa'uka bi shay'in lam yaktubuhu Allah lak, if they were together to say they want to profit you with a thing which Allah has not designed for you, they will never be able to do that. And if they were to harm you with a harm which Allah has not designed against you, they will never be able to do that too. Because one thing that is always meditating against our obedience to God is our desire to satisfy our interest in the world that will soon come to an end. Some people, only in order to be socially acceptable, they are prepared to offend Allah. Some people, only in order to belong to a particular setting, they are prepared to forsake Islam. But as a Muslim, do we have two things we worship? No. You alone we worship, and it is only your assistance we seek. That doesn't mean that Allah cannot raise a fellow human being or a fellow creation to assist us, but we must believe that nothing can we gain in the world except what Allah has aforetime designed. And whatever Allah chooses to deny you, even if the entire world decides to give you, you cannot get it. That we have had series of examples. Maybe just an example. It is never to take any joy in the disaster that has happened to someone. The ordeal of late Chief MK Abiola and his presidential ambition is a good example in this regard. May Allah have mercy on him.
Amen.
May Allah forgive him of all his shortcomings.
Amen.
May Allah admit him into paradise.
Amen.
All Nigerians who are solidly behind him. All the powers of the world were solidly behind him. But what has that translated to? Destruction. Because late Chief MK Abiola died as a result of that ambition. What will be your own fate too? If your decision is to please man, to satisfy man, who does not have a jannah to put you, who also does not have a hellfire with which he can punish you, at the end of the day, you now meet your Allah, Malik Yawmiddin, on the day when he alone will decide what will be your fate. So we should rather learn to please Allah here, so that we can as well be pleased by Allah in the hereafter. And how do we please Allah? By serving Him. And what is the summary of service? Is this. Iyyaka na'budu, you alone will serve. How do you serve Allah? You serve Him by doing all His commandments. serving Allah does not mean you pray in the mosque, you say Allah Akbar, you are proceeding to take possession of us. And outside that salat, you are the most rebellious, most disobedient. Immediately you leave the mosque, you are going back to that which Allah says you should not do. Then you are not serving. Serving things to Allah is only exhibited by your ability to carry out all the orders that are imposed on you by God, even if you find them not convenient. But you take the pains to do it, even though it's not too convenient for you, but because Allah says you shall do, then you do. That is the time you begin to taste the sweetness of Iman. Or there are things you so much enjoy, you so much indulge in, you are completely engrossed in it, and Allah says, this is what I don't want. And then you force yourself to say, no, I'm not going to do that. Denying yourself all that pleasure of which you have known the taste and the sweetness, not for the sake of anything, but for the sake of Allah. That is the time you are serving God. You alone will worship, and it is only your assistance we seek. That also promotes that as Muslims we should know, looking at my audience, I don't think I should be saying that we shall not abuse any idol. It is my belief that all of us here have risen above that. Or is there anyone here having a small grudge in his room? Or is there anyone here having maybe some hamlet on his body? We believe that we have all gone beyond that. It is the areas that we will not be paying attention to that we will rather emphasize. Only Allah shall we worship. We all know what is shirk. We should know as Muslims that we have to face Allah and Allah alone on no condition, no trial, no tribulation should make a Muslim patronize any other deity besides Allah. Just to open this, this is the last part of Surah Al-Fatiha. From Ihdinas Surat Al-Mustaqim is the whole part till the end of the verse. Summarily, let's have the gist in this manner. Allah has created us, as we have seen, for what purpose? For worship, isn't it? And he has demanded that we should serve him alone. Is that also taken? Then the third point is that how do we serve Allah? Many people too in the world believe Allah exists, even the idol worshippers. They believe so. They also believe that God should be worshipped. They have devised their own means through which they worship Allah. But there is yet another thing. How is Allah to be served? And that is what brings us to what? Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Guide us, O Allah, to the right path in serving you. Because anything that has also been behold in terms of the manner of offering servitude to Allah is also not on the track. Are we there? We shall open the discussion on Sirat al-Mustaqim, the right path. What does it connote? What does it mean? What are the practical indices by which we can identify whether a person is on the right track or not? They are as simple as mathematical 2 plus 2 is equal to 4. And we realize at the end that it is possible that we judge ourselves even before we meet Allah. That is why the Prophet would always tell his companion, حَبِبُ أَنْفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَنْ تُحَاسَبُوا. Assess yourself before you are assessed by Allah. حَبِبُ أَنْفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَنْ تُحَاسَبُوا بَيْنَ يَدَ اللَّهِ. Assess yourself before you stand for questioning in the front of Allah. How important is that right path? It's very important because even if serving is offered through a path that is not right, Allah is not going to accept it. That is the reason why we have to pray specifically for what? Being guided to the right path. We have realized Allah is our Lord. That is not common to the Muslims alone. Almost every man will believe that there is one Almighty God. So that's not the case. There is also a common belief that we all should worship that God. Isn't it? The Jews believe they are worshiping God. Every other faith too believe they are worshiping God. But are they worshiping on the right path or not? That is yet another question. And the peculiarity of Islam is that serving to Allah, worship of Allah, must not only be offered anyhow, but it must be what? on the right path. They lost to hear God's guide. Nabi Isa, according to them, clearly says that they are servants of Allah. Because that prayer contains the thing, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What makes the difference between a slave and a son, so to say? The difference simply denotes that if one is a servant, it means he has no will. He is only bound to do the will of his Lord, of his Creator. And the exact message which even Nabi Isa taught them is that they should always confess that the will of God be done on earth while they are on earth as the angels do in heaven. That is to say that they must be submitted to Allah, and at the end they conclude, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Then amen. What is the meaning of kingdom if not authority? So if we say we are servants of Allah, I think it is honor and pride. The Quran says about the Jews, they say, نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاهُ. We are the children of Allah and we are His beloved. That is only a claim which they have made. Allah has created every one of us equal. Nobody can be more child of God just because he has come through a particular lineage, or because what makes you special to Allah is the relationship you keep with him. That is why the Quran says, Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. It is not what you call yourself that matters. The noblest of you in the sight of Allah is the most God-fearing. If anyone here can be a special advisor to President Umar Musa Yar'Adua, if he comes into this gathering, he will expect that we give him some special recognition. Isn't it? He will want us to know that I am a close person to the man who is at the end of affairs of just a country, of just a very small continent. Look at the creation of Allah, look at what Nigeria constitutes. How honorable should it be if I say I am the servant, if a servant of Yar'Adua, I've even gone far. Even a commissioner serving in the cabinet of Lagos State Government would always take pride of that, even though he's a servant of a human master. What can be more honorable than being a servant of God the Most High? That is to say, if I say I am Abdullah, it means I have no master among mankind. My only master is that God firmly established on the throne. Which one is more honorable? If I say I am a servant of Allah, it means I do not have a master among mankind. That means it is only Allah I owe a compulsory duty of obedience. And any other person I may choose to obey, if his commandment is in line with what my God has approved, and I am ready to disobey anyone immediately he orders me to go against the will of my Lord, who is more free. So therefore, when we say we are servants of Allah, I think it is a thing of pride, because people even do take pride in being servants of just mere human beings.
Of being civil servants.
And somebody will be proud to say, I'm Ajiroba or Ajiroba.
أجب الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ويوحدنا لطريق الحق هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق
some sort of uncommon loyalty. You see, there is a verse in the Quran which we should all bear in mind. This is not to say that there are no authorities in the world, but Islam is clear on Atiullah, give Allah unconditional obedience. Wa Atiur Rasul, give the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam absolute obedience. Wa ulil amri minkum, and also you may obey those who are in authority over you. But at the tail end of the verse, we hear, فَإِنْ تَنَزَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُ. And if you should fall into any disagreement between you and those who are in authority over you, refer the matter back to Allah and to His Messenger. This is to say that a Muslim should be prepared at any point in time to be disloyal to any earthly authority that commands him to act against the law of his Lord. Am I communicating? And if for any reason you are taking the word spoken by anyone, whether a sheikh, whether a president, whether a king, or whether an alfa, as final, such that once the word is spoken, it is not subject to any other consideration. What are you really doing? That is in essence worship. All these Muslims must know, because in the hukmu illa lillah, amara alla ta'budu illa iyyah. Allah says, law, legislation, orders, commandments are for none other than Allah. Amara alla ta'budu illa iyyah. And Allah has decreed that you, mankind, shall serve no other being besides Him. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. For us to know that the matter can be even a bit more critical, there is a verse in Surah Ash-Shura where Allah says, أَنَّهُمْ مِنْ شُرَكَائِهِمْ شَرَعُوا لَهُمْ Sorry to make as an example. If we look at the scripture of the generation before us, the Ahlul Kitab, the position of a woman being a priest is clear. How women should conduct themselves in their various places of worship, in terms of head covering, and in terms of how to get themselves properly adorned to be qualified to gain admission into the temple of God are clear. But what is it that we are witnessing in the present generation? What are we witnessing? In many of the modern religious houses, it is really immaterial whether a woman is in a jericho, whether a woman is dressed in a trousers, and even attires that by Islamic standards we can even say are indecent. But all those things are seen to be part of the harshness and barbarism of the old doctrines of the church. And out of modernization, all those old values are now being gradually eroded away. On belief, on the authority of certain religious teachers, several virtues, several norms of the faith are now abandoned. Whereas, you see things that primarily are not commanded and they are now being promulgated. A good example is the law in Celestia, for example, that once you are attired in the sutana, you must not wear a footwear. Allah has not prohibited them from wearing their footwear. There is no verse where Jesus had made such law on them, but an usurper has so decreed and so decreed till tomorrow. So the moment any Christian in that order observes that which Allah has not really prescribed, what are they really doing? Worshipping home. What is prescribed in their faith? Even Nabi Isa alayhi salam fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Is that clear? But you will see that whenever we are in the Lenten season, you hardly can even feel the impact of the Lent in the society. Why? Because that fasting, which scripturally was obligatory, which scripturally even Jesus performed, had been reduced to mere, I wouldn't know, maybe only in some Orthodox quarters that you will still see that it's been observed. But I can tell you that today, a general overseer can just look up and declare a 21-day fast for his denomination, and it will be religiously adhered to. Have you been observing that? This is why the concept of innovation in religion was strongly condemned by the Prophet ﷺ. Each time a religious leader, be it alfa or imam or sheikh, gives you a thing, and that thing is not contained in the book of Allah, that thing is not contained in the sunnah of the messenger of Allah, and he is imposing it on you as an obligation that you should observe. If you do, knowing fully that Allah has decreed otherwise, what are you doing to such? You are worshipping him. That is why the Quran says in the verse I've just quoted, do they have other deities they are placing beside Allah? Who legislates for them in matters of religion, things whereof Allah has not given permission? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. Then in the aspect of our trust and confidence, our love and reliance, let us also know that that can as well constitute another important aspect of ibadah. In Yoruba land, for example, we believe along with Bajo, and then we often say, dear Allah, Koto, and dear Jamin Jeffo, who are you? And on the basis of proverbs such as this, you still find that a number of Muslims are out there who still do not believe that they can live a successful life in this world and make it successfully to the hereafter or in the hereafter without necessarily having some backup. You know what I mean by backup? Outside what we do collectively in the mosque, that everybody can see. If you are still such who believe that you still need some backup even can come from people who call themselves alpha. Forget about whatever anybody claims, provided it will amount to putting your trust, putting your reliance, even if it is a tira that appears in some Arabic calligraphy and now tied into somewhere and then given to you. Make sure this thing is with you anywhere you go. Once you put your mind on that, you have put your trust in that, you have started doing what? Worshipping another thing besides Allah. So if you are reciting your Fatiha in Salat and you are saying, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, Allah will simply be laughing at you that you have some other thing in which you put your trust. Inshallah, by the time we go to the opening of Al-Baqarah, we will know the essence that we can really not be able to experience real faith until we can have firm belief in the unseen God. By the time you are creating something physical for yourself, to which you want to attach your iman, what are you doing gradually? You are worshipping such persons. Lastly, this may just be some sort of warning, because some of us may not be too conscious of that, maybe because of our deficiency in Arabic. Before you accept any prayer from any malam, please find someone who is literate in Arabic, submit the prayer to him, let him render it for you in a language you understand. A number of prayers are there today that if you are doing it, you are just casting yourself out of Islam. I think it is important to mention some books and to recommend for you that you do away completely from such books. One of such is Fawzul Azim. Don't find it shocking. It's a popular prayer book. You can always find it among Muslims. It contains Suratul Yasin. It contains Suratul Waqia. It also contains, I think, Suratul Kaf. And a number of other surahs. But you see, it is not the Quran that that book contains that is the problem. But at the end of the recitation of each surah, you are taken to what is called khutbah. Then they now say this is khutbah of surah to Yasin. And you now begin to read the khutbah, and at a point you come to words such as ajib, ya rawqa ya ilu, ya bajada ya ilu, ya damdama ya ilu, and things like that. You think it's Arabic. Please don't get deceived. Our Muslims, the Arabs too, had their own talisman. It is not everything written in Arabic that is Quranic. Not everything written in Arabic that can be Sunnatic. The Arabs too have their own magic till today, till tomorrow. And we have people who go to the Arab land, especially in the African Arab countries. Subhanallah, I don't know what adjective with which one can qualify them. Places like Mauritania, people can memorize the whole Quran at heart and yet can still be a soothsayer. You find a big sheikh among them, on his neck is one big charm, you know, padded in leather. All these are there. So don't always get this. In case you are given a thing, by the time anybody is even preparing something wrapped in either thread or leather, please put it away. The Prophet ﷺ once met a companion with an amulet on his body. And he said, what are you using this for? He said he was using it as a protection against an epidemic. The Prophet said, in Zaha, immediately please throw it off your body. فَإِنَّكَ لَوْ مِتَّ وَهِيَ عَلَيْهِ لَنْ تُفْلِحَ أَبَدًا. For should you die and this amulet happens to be on your body at your point of death, you can never prosper in the front of Allah. That is where scholars come into disagreement as to whether if the amulet or charm is made of Quranic verse, whether that can constitute some exception or the other. The most popular of the view, which appears to me to be more weighty, is the view of the scholars who say all the ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ in prohibition of amulet and what are those other talisman you tie on your body, whether anything tamar in, that the Prophet never differentiated between that which was made of Quran or that which was made out of another thing. Because even if you start with an amulet made by Quran, you are gradually going to graduate. Shaitan has his way of taking man from low level and ensure that you graduate bit by bit to a higher level. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Prayers such as Dambakara, Karanda, Fabarabarbatuna, Ihdisu annal ba'ida la ya'tina, wal qariba la yu'dina. Don't look at me. Dakalna fika nafillah. All these prayers are there. Ya agalalinti, ya tomtom, ya karkatishi. And you see, scholars will even, out of ignorance, out of not knowing that they are already out of the faith, they even be bragging. They will say, I have one lattice in me, one big lasami, that if I use it, wonder will happen. Please, in case anybody is praying for you and he begins to chant names that sound Chinese, please just take off your head. Because you wouldn't know it could be a cult. By the time the person is saying, yeah, Adalalim, yeah, Rushu, Meirushu, Kolada Rushu, all those names are there. There are books that contain this, which I will also recommend any sincere student of knowledge. Not, I think it is even better not to even mention names. Yes, so that you don't go to the market and shop for those books. I think that is better. So let me reserve it. We all now have a clearer concept of what Ibadah means. So if we say you are making an oath to Allah that you shall serve none, it is in this comprehensive sense. You shall give no absolute love for anyone besides whom?
Allah.
Your love for other people will always be within the confines of whether pleasing them will amount to pleasing Allah or not. Are we there? If you love your wife to the extent that whatever she demands of you, you must give. Or you love your husband to the extent that whatever he demands of you, you must offer. Whether or not in that life offending Allah or pleasing Allah, that is to you secondary. What are you doing to your husband?
Worship.
You are worshiping him. Trust, loyalty, obedience, all, confidence, all belong to Allah. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. If you really believe that all power belongs to Allah, all ability belongs to Allah, then it should as well be sensible to that unto Allah should we also run regarding all assistance and aid we may be seeking. And how do we seek Allah's assistance? وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ فَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. Allah says, seek my aid, seek my help in two ways. Be sabr, by patience, by endurance. Patience and endurance mean by giving the requisite effort that is naturally needed to achieve your objective. Whatever sacrifice you need to make, don't expect as a Muslim that you come upon an achievement through miracle. No. Wasta'inu, you need help of Allah. You'll achieve it by what? As sabr. And when Allah says sabr, patience, endurance, it means by paying the price, giving the necessary sacrifice that is naturally required to achieve your objective. Then wasallah. Then you back that up with what? Prayer. فَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. Allah says, to be sufficed with only effort and prayer is something that is very difficult except for those who are God-fearing. What is making many people run out of Islam today is simply because, one, they are impatient. They want magic to happen. They want an instant solution to whatever they are looking for. And that is not a way of seeking the aid of Allah. You can only seek the aid of shaitan in that manner. Because the Prophet says, Al-ajala min al-shaytan. Anything that happens so hastily belongs to shaitan. Allah always takes his time. And there is always natural cause for everything in life to come to pass. Then, wasallah, you also back up whatever effort you are making, whatever endurance you are making, whatever self-denial you are making, whatever sacrifice you are making towards getting your objective, you back it up with dua. That is the way to seek the help of Allah. Now, the other area which I say is the most crucial in the consideration of Surah Al-Fatiha is that having understood what worship is, having agreed that we shall seek only the aid of Allah, the other thing that is very crucial is to observe that worship, to discharge that worship on the right path. What is the right path? Every religion in the world today is about worship. Do we agree? Buddhism, Hinduism, Veganism, top of all reasons. The central focus of all religions is about what? Giving worship to certain deities. Isn't it? That is to say, worship alone can really not be meaningful unless the worship is discharged on what? On the straight path. That is why the summary of the message of the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are always two. One, that none should be served or worshipped besides Allah. And that two, that Allah should as well be served according to the teachings of the particular Prophet. That is why if you say, La ilaha illallah, what are you declaring? None shall be worshipped except whom? Allah. And Muhammadun Rasulullah. And that you shall discharge that worship according to what? The teaching of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom Allah has sent to you. Have I made the point clear here? La ilaha illallah. You will worship none but Allah, isn't it? But you do not on your own know that Allah. Have you on your own known Allah? You have been able to know Him through whom? The messengership of the Prophet of Allah. And that is where the essence of Muhammadun Rasulullah comes from. La ilaha illallah. I will worship none but Allah. Muhammadun Rasulullah. And my worship of Allah will be in line with what Muhammad has brought to me. That is the prophet of the moment. The previous ages too had their own prophet. Oh Allah, guide us to the right path. Let me first clarify this ambiguity that has even thrown even a lot of Muslims into distortion of Quranic verse. Some will say, keep us on the right path. Sustain us on the right path, because they want to avoid giving the impression that they were not on the right path prior to that prayer. Ihdina is clear. What Ihdina means? Guide us, show us, put us on track. But out of being reactionary, probably to the calumny of those who say, if indeed you have been on the way, why is it that you still have to pray to your God to guide you to the right path on daily basis? Have you been told that once? It has always been an attack against the Muslims. So, in order for some Muslims to avoid that oppression, they now choose to translate Ihdina as keep us. That is to say, already we are on the way, but all we are praying for is that what? You keep us. You sustain us. There is no need for that. Guide us is clear. It is still guide us. What is the right path? By the time you know what the right path is, you will always know that there is almost no better prayer a Muslim can pray for in the world except what? Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Quran chapter 18 verse 1. To know what the right path is. Quran chapter 18 verse 1. الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا.
الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا. قسما لمنذر رحمة شديدا من لدنه وبشرى المؤمنين. الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا.
What we are attempting to define now is what is the straight path. That verse that has just been quoted, Allah says, praise be to Allah who has revealed the scripture to His servant and He has made no crookedness at all in that scripture. Are we there?
Yes.
Allah has made no crookedness. There is nothing complex, complicated about the book which Allah has revealed. In Quran chapter 17, Surah Al-Isra, Allah also says, Inna hadha al-Qur'an yahdi lillati hiya aqwam wa yubashir mu'minin alladhina yahmaluna al-salihat anna lahum أجرًا حسنًا. This Quran يهدي للذي هي أقوى, guides unto that which is most straight, which is most perfect. So in essence, if you are saying, oh Allah, guide us to the right path, what you are simply saying is that Allah guide us to the path of what? The Quran. Are we there? All that right path that are contained in the Quran. Oh Allah, put our feet on that path. If it is not too clear to you, we all recite Alif Lam Mim, isn't it? ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. That book, the Quran says, indeed there is no doubt, it is what? Guidance to the believers. So if we say, oh Allah, guide us to the right path, the path wherein there is no crookedness, the path wherein there is no ambiguity. Look at how the Prophet ﷺ described the path of Islam. He said, تَرَبْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْمَحْجَةِ الْبَيْضَةِ. I will be leaving and I shall be leaving you on a bright and shiny plain. لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِهَا. Its night is equally as bright as its day. لَا يَزِيبُ عَنْهَا إِلَّا هَالِكَ. None will swerve from that path except him who is doomed to perish, who is destined for destruction. How did the Prophet describe the path upon which he left us? Bright, shining, plain. The night of that path is as bright as its day. Are you there? So that is a symbolic representation of what? The straight path. And if you look at Surah Al-Kahf, Allah calls the Quran وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا. That is why if you want to nail a person, if you want to hang a fraudster, if you want to nail a Confucianist, confront him with the Quran. Because the Quran is so clear, so lucid, and there is just no way the Quran can really be made the reference point in all religious matters and will still have any possibility, except if they have been misguided by Shaitan. So if we say he's the master of the Mustaqim, what are we really saying? Guide us to what? To the path of the Quran. When Aisha radiallahu anha was asked about the Prophet sallam, the summary of her answer was that khuluquhu al-Qur'an. Khuluquhu al-Qur'an. Oh, you want to know about Muhammad, my husband? Look, his conduct, his attitude is just practical demonstration of what is in the Quran. When you see Muhammad, you are seeing the Quran personified. When you see Muhammad, you are seeing the Quran in action. Now let me ask you a question, and let me also ask myself, how many among us here can stand up and say, right now, I am sure that I am already on the path of the Quran? How many of the Quranic provisions are you meeting as you are seated here? How many of the Quranic provisions do you still violate up to the moment? So if up till now we cannot accept that already the entirety of the Quran has been demonstrated in our life by our actions and words and thoughts, then it means we are still struggling to be where? On the right path. We are not yet there. Is it worth praying for or not? Imagine now, if I can just achieve one thing, that everything contained in this book I'm holding is already actualized in my life. SubhanAllah, I will pray for death now, here and now. I will say, oh Allah, please take me. And let me not spend a minute further, because I wouldn't know what will happen. But why I still long for longevity is simply because I am still in the struggle of trying to perfect my ways, of trying to live up to the standard of the Quran. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Anything contrary to the Quran will always be characterized by crookedness, by waywardness, by all sorts of negative attributes. But Allah speaks of the Quran and says, لَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا. If you want to know what the straight path is, again, let us go to Quran chapter 36, verse 2. ياسين والقرآن الحكيم
That is 4.
Allah says, Yasin, leave that. Wal Qur'an al Hakim. Allah swears by the Qur'an that is full of wisdom. إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. You Muhammad, definitely you are on the right way. عَلَى صِرَاطٍ That Allah already has confirmed that the Prophet was on the right path. Another verse of the Quran says, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Allah says, definitely you Muhammad guide onto that path which is straight, which is devoid of all crookedness. And the Quran continues to say, Siratullah, that path is what? The path of Allah. So, وَعَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ فَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. From this few verses, it is clear that if you say, O Allah, guide me to the straight path, what are you really saying? O Allah, guide me to the path of what? The Sunnah, the path of the Prophet. Are we not? Quran chapter 36 verse 4 declares that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on what? On the straight path. So if you are saying in Dina Surah al-Mustaqim, what you are simply praying for is that, O Allah, guide me to the path, to the straight path which Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam follows to death. Yes, before we conclude, I will just want to say that in our introductory lecture, we have said that the best interpreter of the Quran is what? The Quran itself. And you can see a demonstration of that principle here. If you don't know what Surat al-Mustaqim is, the Quran itself has defined what is Surat al-Mustaqim. What is it? Surat al-Ladina. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم stands to define صراط المستقيم, the path of those on whom Allah has perfected His favor, the path of those on whom Allah has shown His favor. That is what the path, that is the صراط المستقيم. And for us to know who are these people unto whom Allah has bestowed His favor, who are those ones? Let us check Quran chapter 4 verse 69. أولئك الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء. The path of those on whom Allah has shown His favor. Even if, now who are those people? This is what is defined again in Quran chapter 4, verse 69. Allah says, فَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولِهِ. Whoever obeys, follows the Allah and the Prophet, such will be in the rank of those on whom Allah has bestowed His favor among Nabiji, the Prophet, what He believed. And those who are not prophets, but they believe truly in the Prophet. They never doubted the word of God. What is this? What shuhada? And all those who witness to the truth of the scripture, or in other words, we may say, those who suffered death in the course of defending the faith they have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was called and the righteous. Are you there? If you go further to Surah Al-An'am, maybe I will have to stop there. What we are trying to give ourselves a glimpse of is that the right path is not a thing illusory. No. It is not something that is just fictitious. No. It is something real, something very practical that you can have people that you can, you know, make a case study by whose standard you can always assess yourself for you to be able to know whether or not you are on that track. وَتِلْكَ حُجَّتُنَا سُورَةُ الْأَنْعَامِ from verse 83 to 90. I wouldn't want to, but the aspect I want to follow me. That verse says, this is our proof over mankind. أَتَيْنَاهَا إِبْرَاهِيمِ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ. We have given that proof for Ibrahim against his people. وَنُوحًا هَدَيْنَا مِنْ قَبْلُ. And we have also given the proof to Noah prior to Abraham. وَمِنْ ذُرِيَّاتِهِ دَاوُدَ وَسُلَيْمَانِ. Allah begins to mention chains of prophets. The progeny of Ibrahim is Dawud and Solomon, وَيَحْيَا وَإِلْيَاسَ and John and Elias, كُلُّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. All these ones are of the righteous. وَزَكَرِيَّا and Zachariah, وَيَحْيَا and John, وَيُونُسَ and Jonah, وَنُوحًا and Lut, وَكُلًّا فَضَّلْنَا عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah goes on to mention chains of prophets, and at the end the Quran says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهُ وَمِنْ أَبَائِهِمْ وَإِخْوَانِهِمْ وَذُرِّيَّاتِهِمْ Having mentioned all these prophets, the conclusion is that أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهُ. These are the ones whom Allah has confirmed that they have walked the straight path. And an instruction now to the Prophet, فَبِهُدَاهُ مُهْتَدِي. Oh, you Muhammad, make sure you follow their path. Are we there? Oh, you Muhammad, follow their footsteps. And in conclusion, the Quran says, وَمِنْ أَبَائِهِمْ of their fathers and their generations, اجْتَبَيْنَاهُمْ we have chosen them, وَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ and we had also guided them to the straight path. Inshallah, we are going to stop here, but before then, let us, the recap of what we have said about the straight path is that one, the straight path is what? The path of the Quran, on the strength of Quran chapter 18, verse 1. The straight path is also the path of what? The Sunnah. That is the path shown by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is confirmed in Quran chapter 33, verse 4, where Allah says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is indeed on the straight path. Now, the Quran itself defines the straight path as being that path belonging, becoming to those on whom Allah has bestowed their favor. And we went into the Quran to see who are those people. 4:69 tells us they are the prophets of God, the messengers, those who accepted the truth of their message in their time, and the people who are divinely adjudged to be righteous. And in Surah Al-An'am, that is Quran chapter 6 verse 83, we now see clearly who are the people on the straight path. The last that I will just want to give you before we close in order to make it coherent is that Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah speaks of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah says, ولكن الله حبب إليكم الإيمان. It is indeed a favor of Allah that Allah has endeared faith to the heart of the companions of the Allah's Messenger. وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ And Allah also adorned, beautified, decorated iman in their faith. وَقَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِصْيَانَ And Allah also put the hatred of kufr, of unbelief, disbelief, rebellion, sin into their heart. And at the end of that verse, Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ Oh, أُولَٰئِكَ Those ones, the companions of the messenger, are rightly guided. And with that, our conclusion now of the meaning of the first part is that the first part is exemplified in that part which clearly denotes or which clearly demonstrates that which the Quran provides, that which the Sunnah provides, that which the Prophet of old, whom Allah had sacrificed, that which was becoming to them, which was a tradition in the family of faith, and lastly, that whereupon the companions of Allah's Messenger also died upon. Therefore, for you to know whether you are on the straight path as a Muslim, the questions to ask are as follows. Is my Islam the same as dictated by the Quran? If yes, step one. Dictated by the Quran, is it as practiced too by the Prophet and his local companions? If yes, then you can be assured that you are on the straight path. This is what the Prophet ﷺ declared, that the Ummah of Islam too will be divided into 73 sects, and all will go to hellfire except one. And the Prophet said that one is that which I, Muhammad, am practicing today along with my companions. What is the straight path? The path which Muhammad followed till death along with his companions. So if your Islam is adherent with the standard set by the Prophet, set by his companions, it means you are not on the track. You are probably within the 72, which the Prophet confirmed, may Allah forbid that anyone that is seated here, the Muslims at last, may Allah give all of us from heaven.
The final frontier. It's longer than everybody wants it. But the truth, knowledge is vital. And here it is for the taking. Are you willing to grab it? Then join us every Friday for the weekly Tafsir Quran by 5 to 7 p.m. And Sunday between 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. for the Tazkirah session. Quarterly is our Islamic workshop, which means we hold the workshop four times in a year. You can also enroll for sound Islamic education programs, young Muslim tutorials, effective Islamic course for adults, ineffective class, subsistence Islamic course, a course to give you the basics you need to keep you going in your spiritual life, and lastly, advanced researchers course for scholars and da'wah officers. Contact us at Lakey Muslim Ummah Central Mosque, Hakim Dixon Street, opposite Water Corporation, Lakey Phase 1, Lakey Peninsula, Lagos. For more information, please call 083-581-0877 or 805-445-7848. You can also send us an email at imam@maymun.ng.org or visit our website on www.maymun-ng.org. Lakey Muslim Ummah, give your life a meaning. Allah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We stopped yesterday at verse 6, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, teaching us to learn to pray for guidance to that path which it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can guide onto the path. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was accustomed to introducing all his speeches with one thing, and that is, مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهِ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهِ. Whomever Allah has decided to guide aright, none can mislead. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهِ. And whomever Allah has decided to lead to stray on the wrong path, until Allah so decides to bring such back to the path, no one can as well guide. For us to know that to be able to appreciate and realize the guidance of Al-Islam, though can require some wisdom, though can also require some understanding or knowledge, but all these are just not too sufficient. There is always the need for Allah to touch hearts and to guide us specifically. How important is guidance in the life of the believer cannot even be overemphasized at all. That is why Allah has taught us right from the first book of the scripture, not to rely solely on our intellect. In the world today, our professors, even of Islam, of Islamic law or of Islamic studies, who probably have even been misled as a result, I wouldn't know whether they have got their knowledge wrongly or not. So this is to make us realize as believers that we require some level of humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to rely on Him for the guidance of our soul. This should be the first step. Having done that, and we pray to Allah to guide our soul aright, then the next is to acquire the necessary knowledge that will give us the necessary understanding as we come to realize very soon. We stopped yesterday at discussing what is the right path, that is Sirat al-Mustaqim. We have been able to see that if we are praying Allah to guide us to the right path, we are simply saying, oh Allah, guide us to the path unto which the Quran is leading. Guide us, enable us to be able to fulfill your will as dictated in the Quran, which is a book that is devoid of all crookedness. We have also been able to see yesterday that Sirat al-Mustaqim can simply mean the path followed by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to that we had adduced Quran chapter 36 verse 4, where Allah is saying, Yasin, leave that, wal Quran al-Hakim, innaka lamin al-mursaleen, ala siratin mustaqim. So a believer should realize that if you are praying Allah to guide you to the right path, what you are simply seeking is that, oh Allah, make me lead the kind of life that Muhammad led. Enable me to discharge my Islam according to that example which was left by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we will all agree with me that this is still a standard that none of us is yet to attain. So we still need a lot of Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. In fact, the ones we are reciting are not enough. It is not a matter of being in Islam already, and then why are we saying, oh Allah, guide us to the right path? Look at the Quran, you know that you have not gone any far at all. If Allah were to judge us by the standard set by the Quran, we are still very far from having covered any ground at all. If Allah were also to judge us by the standard left by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will also agree that we still have a lot of ground to cover. Yet, before we left, we also pointed that Allah in Surah Al-Hujurat also spoke of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and at the end he concluded that ulaika hum ar-rashidun. Towards the end of today's discourse, we will be able to give us some parameters by which we can assess our deen, each one of us. And these parameters will enable us to make very objective assessments. And at the end, we'll all conclude, we'll decide whether or not we are on the right path or not. One of the things we said yesterday too, which we should also bear in mind, for us to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is never the author of all the confusions we have in the world today regarding religion. Judaism is a faith. It claims to be the only path to Allah. Christianity is also another faith, which also claims that unless you belong to that faith, you cannot even make it to heaven. The Muslims too in Islam are also making similar claims. So also the Buddhists. But essentially we all believe that it is the same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who had sent all these previous messengers. It is never in doubt that Nabi Musa alayhi salam, after whom the faith of Judaism has been patterned and fashioned, was indeed sent by Allah. The Quran is not ambiguous about that. We also believe that Nabi Isa alayhi salam, Christ Jesus, is one of the prophets of Islam and the immediate predecessor of Al-Mustafa Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of whom the prophet had even said, Ana ahakku bi Isa ibn Maryam. I have the greatest claim to Jesus, son of Mary, for there is no messenger between him and me. In a number of traditions, you see the Prophet ﷺ referring to his predecessor, and he will say, Akhi, my brother, either Musa, or my brother, either Isa, the son of Maryam. This Sirat al-Mustaqim, if you want to conclude as Muslims, that it is no other path than the path left by Muhammad ﷺ, and that is to conclude that whoever does not follow the path is on error, is on the path of error, then certain questions should arise. What about those who have been following the previous scriptures? Are they not as well following a particular prophet? If we conclude that the right path is that which we are on now, hoping and praying that we will be able to meet all that is required, then what is the case of all this? The answer to this simply is that Allah, ever since the time He created Adam, has never prescribed more than one faith to humanity. Please correct the impression if you speak about Islam in the context of the right path. It is never a faith founded by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was only one and indeed the last of the several prophets in the chain of the prophets of Islam. A verse in the Quran says, قُلْ مَا كُنْتُ بِدْعًا مِنَ الرُّسُلِ وَلَا أَدْرِي مَا يُفْعَلُ بِي وَلَا بِكُمْ إِنْ أَتَّبِعُ إِلَّا مَا يُوحَى إِلَيَّ. Allah mandated the Prophet ﷺ to declare to mankind, I am not in any way new among the messengers of Allah. I have as well not brought anything new. Not at all. That means my faith is essentially a confirmation of the faith before. If you look at Quran chapter 4 verse 163, Allah says, إِنَّا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ. We have inspired unto you Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have given you the religion. كَمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى نُوحٍ. Are we there? Quran chapter 4 verse 163. You will recall yesterday that Surah Al-Fatiha itself defines the straight path as the path of those on whom Allah has bestowed His favor. Hope you have not forgotten. And we also went to Quran chapter 4 verse 169, 4 verse 69, to define who are the ones on whom Allah has bestowed His favor. And we found the Quran too in that part answering that question that مَا الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَى وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Allah Himself defines أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ
اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ
May Allah put us in that rank. Who are the ones on whom Allah has bestowed His favor? That verse clearly answers it. They are the ones on whom Allah has perfected His bounties from among the prophets and messengers, from among those who confirmed the truth of the message delivered by the prophet up till the end. This is to tell us that if we are speaking of the straight path in the Quran, it is not a straight path that had just evolved from the messengership of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is as ancient as the creation of man itself. From the last verse we have recited, that is in Quran 4:163, we are able to see Allah was telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we have inspired unto you Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the same is Islam which we had given to Noah before, which we had also given to Abraham, and you can see the chain of the prophet which Allah had mentioned. That is why the Quran concludes in Surah Ali Imran that وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. Whoever chooses any other place besides Islam, never will Allah accept it from him. That is not to say that those who have followed any of the previous messengers of Allah will be punished just because they followed their prophet. As far as Islam is concerned, they were all Muslims. In fact, we may want to find out how did the name Muslim come about. Let us look at Quran chapter 22, verse
78.
Please hold on. Millata Adikum
Ibrahim.
Allah calls our faith what? That is the faith, the path followed by your father Ibrahim Al Khalil. Who was the Ma'akum now? Who was a ma'akum al-Muslimina min qabl? It is he, Ibrahim alayhi salam, the name you now bear, that you are Muslims. He was the first to have given you that name aforetime. This is to tell us that the word Muslims predated him, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why you find a number of verses in the Quran where Allah even enjoins. For example, Quran chapter 2, verse 130. The Quran says, وَمَنْ يَرْغَبْ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِهَ نَفْسَهُ. In several other verses, the Quran will say, وَاتَّبِعُوا مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. O you Muslims, follow the path of Abraham. Can we appreciate the distance between Ibrahim and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Between Ibrahim and the next day, Yaqub Ishaq, Yaqub come down the line to Musa alayhi salam, we cannot find less than 2,000 years in between. Now take it from Musa alayhi salam to the period of Isa alayhi salam, that is also about 1,800 years, close to 2,000 years, thereabouts, before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Between Isa and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is about 600 years. So you can find that several millennia in the past, the word Muslim, the word Islam was a name and a title and a description that had been common even with the prophet of old. So if we are saying Sirat al-Mustaqim, we have a lot of assignments to carry out here. What we simply mean is that path which was followed by several prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah had accepted their faith. I think it is also good to add to this reference Quran chapter 4, verse 125. Allah says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ دِينًا. Look at that question. Who is more better in faith? Who is more better in religion? وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ دِينًا مِمَّنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ وَاتَّبَعَ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا.
4:125.
So we have predicted us in faith. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not brought anything new. It was his contenders rather who had brought opposing faith. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ دِينًا. Who is better in faith in religion than him who had surrendered his whole essence to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ. And is also perfecting his duties towards Allah. He is a righteous worker. He is a worker of righteousness. وَتَبَعَ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. And he has also followed in his faith the path of whom? Ibrahim. One whom Allah has declared to be the Hanif. The Hanif means one who is in full surrender to Allah and has also perfected and purified his faith for Allah alone. And at the end the Quran says, وَاتَّبَعَ وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا.
قُلْ إِنَّنِي هَدَانِي رَبِّي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُّسْتَقِيمٍ دِينًا
قِيَمًا
مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا
I think it is sufficient to take as the last one, 6 verse 161. Let us all open to that. That is very clear, very conclusive. قُلْ إِنَّنِي هَدَانِي رَبِّي
إِنَّنِي هَدَانِي رَبِّي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ
مُّسْتَقِيمٍ. Please hold on. قُلْ إِنَّنِي هَدَانِي رَبِّي. Say, O Muhammad, to the believers, definitely my Lord has guided me to the straight path. I think you can all read Siratan Mustaqiman there. قُلْ إِنَّنِي هَدَانِي رَبِّي Siratan Mustaqim. Go on. قِيَمًا. What is Siratan Mustaqim? What is the straight path? دِينًا قِيَمًا. A straight way of religion. An upright way of religion. A way that is free of all crookedness. And this was the path that was followed by whom? Millata Ibrahim. That was the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now, I think Muslims should just be, let us just be congratulating ourselves that we have not anchored our faith upon any experimentation, isn't it? We are all sure. Is there anyone now who is in doubt that we are going to find our father Ibrahim alayhi salam in paradise on the day of judgment? Is that in doubt? Is there any doubt in the fact that Ibrahim alayhi salam has indeed been accepted? You see, why Allah emphasizes on Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim is for you to know that faith is so sensitive and so crucial beyond a thing you can use in experimentation. No! You don't gamble in matters of religion. You must first establish where is that path that has been followed by people whom Allah has accepted. I don't think the message is clear. We know that Ibrahim has tread the path of Islam till Allah even chose him as a friend. وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Are we there? And several other prophets of Allah, who is now a wiser person, assuming we can all not see Allah. This, we are coming down to the logic of religion now. Can we all see Allah? And nobody has ever gone to heaven and come back, isn't it? But at least between us and all other contending faiths, there are some standards that we all agree upon. One of such standards is that certain men had lived the earth and the scriptures, old and present, have confirmed that they are successful. Is that not? Among those people are Ibrahim. Then the wise person will be such person who now founds his own faith too upon some confirmed, I mean scripturally confirmed foundations. Sorry to say, rather than a faith that is founded on doctrines that we can trace its history to less than maybe 1,000 or 1,500 thereabouts, or maximum of not less than 2,000 years ago. Inshallah, as we continue, we are coming to consider what are the features of the straight path, what are the indices, which if we see, we will know that indeed we are on the straight path. One thing that is very crucial on the Sirat al-Mustaqim is the oneness of Allah and the ability of a believer to single out Allah as the sole object of worship. And if we are going to judge by this premise, we will all agree that Islam is perfectly in consonance with the teachings, with the doctrines, with the faith of all men of old.
and that the faith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was never a new faith at all in the history. Rather, what could be new is the doctrine that somebody supposedly who lived on the surface of the earth, who was conceived by the womb of a woman, who was given birth to, even though without the involvement of any male partner, but at least was conceived and was delivered as a baby, circumcised on the eighth day, nappied too, like all babies were nappied or diapered, was suckled with the breath of a woman. When he was born, he could not see on his own. He also took his time to undergo all the biological processes or physiological processes of development before he grew up as a man. And then the doctrine that that man you saw was the same God in heaven and now came to the world in form of man. And as you are seeing him walk the earth, you are not seeing a human being, but we are simply seeing what? A God in heaven that has come in human form. We can argue it out clearly without any fear of contradiction that nobody ever had this notion until some few hundred years ago. Ibrahim al-Khalil never died on that belief. In fact, Allah has confirmed him and has made Ibrahim his friend even before any Musa or Isa alayhi salam was ever born. Are we there? If anyone would now have to say that until you are a Jew, وَقَالُوا كُنُوا هُودًا أَوْ
نَصَارَىٰ
If anyone tells you until you are a Jew, Please, Muslims, just be assured. Be comforted. Your judgment is right here. Fakodin Sadao. Allahu Akbar. That is Misafat. Please, let's go to that passage. 2:135. Yes.
وَأَنَّهُ كُلُّهُ دَنْ أَوْ نَصَارَىٰ